What's up, guys? I have a, wait, sorry. I'll start with that. Well, you suck. Yeah. No, actually, I think I started. You are the devil. I am putting this. You are the worst.
guys, enough. 25 cents for each of you in the jar.
Okay, let me talk. I've been waiting for a sign, for all the stars to align. I have searched high and low. Now I want you to know, when I find you, when I
welcome to Find Your Person podcast. My name is Jake, and I'm here with Dustin, Stephanie, and we have our guest with us, Wes, here, and he is from the Eternal Warriors podcast. He's one of the co-hosts, and we're just super excited to basically have him here with us. Wes, how's it going?
Thanks for having me, Jake. I'm excited to be here with you guys. Seriously. Dustin introduced me to your pod, and I'm a big fan. I haven't listened to the most recent stuff, but when it comes to have a fishing pick or not a fishing pick,
what is your opinion?
You know what? If it's authentic to you, if you feel like that picture of the five allotted or however many you get in your profile, if you feel like that's your best foot forward, you know, then why not? But maybe you need to be checking your feet if that's your best foot forward. That's all I'm going to say.
Love it.
And if it's like a nice brown trout from the Weber or like a cutthroat, all the better. And that's my personal preference. But
All right.
Whatever.
So for those of you who don't know, the Eternal Warrior podcast is a podcast about self-mastery. So Wes and his co-host Spencer talk about guys who either have are in a fight against pornography or who were against a fight in pornography and masturbation, and helping get past that and fighting for the side of good.
The porn cast, right?
Honestly, though, I like the emphasis you have on self-mastery, though, because I think that's really what it is.
Well, yeah, and I appreciate you saying that, Dustin, because one thing that we've learned is that we actually get a variety of different people that tune into our podcast, whether they're struggling with pornography addiction themselves, or they're kind of a support partner of someone who's really trying to help somebody else navigate things. And we try to cater to everyone that does, you know, kind of tune in and help them realize, you know, the principles that we teach apply to everyone. And we kind of tell them through the lens of addiction recovery, but they are universal. So yeah, it's all about self-mastery, being your best you, all that fun millennial jive. It's a good time.
That's real though. And I really like it because I originally started listening to your podcast to help with that. But then after a while, like, I just like listening to it because you guys are really funny and your stuff is uplifting and just interesting to think about. Like it like you're saying, it relates to addiction in general. And it also just kind of helps you understand your brain and like how things work in that sense too. So it's really, really cool. It's a good podcast. I highly recommend that.
I have to give all that credit to my co-host Spencer. He's really creatively gifted and he's really a sharp guy. He's so positive, and if there's any type of benefit that people are getting from the pod, it's likely from him because he's just awesome. So I'm really fortunate to learn from him and to be on his team as we try to do that and try to build a community of people trying to better their lives.
Yeah.
So Wes, I have a question. How did you and Spencer formulate the idea? How did it all start?
Oh, Steph, let me take you on a fun little journey.
I'm here for it.
Okay, so Spencer and I have known each other for a good long minute now. We both went to Utah State University up in Aggie Land is where we met.
I'm an Aggie as well.
Are you, Steph? Woo-hoo. Get out! I knew I loved you. I knew it. I knew it. Jake's asking like, what's an Aggie? Oh my gosh.
Yes, I was. One the heck is an Aggie?
Yeah, culture. One who enjoys agricultural pursuits. Everyone knows this.
Everyone knows that.
Apparently not.
So, Spence and I met in our freshman intro to farming class. Just kidding. Not everybody has to be a farmer at Utah State. But
I really wish that was
why I haven't heard it.
I've told a couple girls I've dated that, and they believe it. Hook, line, and sinker, and it's
absolutely
a really fun lie. But so Spence and I had a really good mutual friend at Utah State, and then we just kind of met through that. We became roommates one summer, and we're just really good friends. And just like, it's amazing how God orchestrates the universe. And one night we were studying, or we were about to study. I was giving him a lift to the Merrill Kazir Library in my old 93 Toyota 4Runner before it was dead. Oof. Anyway, I don't know why, but it just squeaked out of me. I was just like, hey, I got to tell you, man, like I struggle with pornography addiction. And he's sitting shotgun and just looks over at me and goes, me too, man. And like, that was my first time ever confiding in a peer what I was going through. And it was the first time he had too. And like all of a sudden, like the lights turned on a little bit and just so much hope flooded into our lives that we could actually talk to someone that wasn't a bishop or our mom about this. Mm-hmm. And we started to make real progress. I ended up joining a group, like a group therapy program called the Sons of Helaman. That's our sponsoring entity that helped get the Eternal Warrior podcast off the ground. Mm-hmm. And still heavily involved with that group. And I got into the program, and then a year later I invited Spence to join me, and we both just had so much fun and success and met the best people in the world. Both those in addiction recovery and those that are in you know, a supportive role of somebody who's fighting against pornography, masturbation, addiction. And one day, and so Spence and I, we actually work together. And one day at work.
Nice.
Yeah, I know, right? One day at work. He just texted me. Anyway, one day at work, he walks into, or we're about to go grab lunch or something, and he grabs me and he just says, hey, I've got an idea I need to tell you about. And I go, okay. And he goes, no, not here. And then he takes me into like a little side conference room. And part of the Eternal Warrior or the Sons of Helaman program in recovery is having a passion project, something that occupies your time and really puts your talents and your passions on display, something that you just get stoked about doing.
Cool.
And it's essential to any type of recovery. Anyway, he says, hey, I want to start a passion project with you, and I think we should do a podcast about this. And at first I was kind of like, all right, Spence, you want me to go on the internet and say that I have a pornography addiction for everyone to hear and then publish that to the world. That's your big idea. And he's like, yeah. And I was like, all right, I'm in. And that was about probably 2 years ago. And it's one of the best things I've ever done for my recovery and for my life. And yeah, I guess that's the rest is kind of history, as it's history. It's not even a big deal, but it's so fun.
Well, mm-hmm. It's also affecting your community too. Like, tons mm-hmm. of guys have helped out with this. I mean, I heard about it through Bishop, and it helped me a lot too. I don't know if I had to do any like additional things, but just listening to your podcast was amazing and like helps me understand. And so it's been really, really cool. And I think you've reached a lot of guys that need this and a lot of girls who need to hear about it and girls who also have the problem, because that's a thing as well. So.
Yeah. I appreciate you saying that, Dustin. Like we've had, like, that's one thing that I've learned in doing it is that the plague of pornography and the challenges of masturbation and self-stimulation are so broad, so ubiquitous that like people that I didn't anticipate or expect to have these challenges, everybody's affected in one way or the other. And so yeah, like definitely like some of my closest girlfriends said, hey, like that's a problem I've had too. And I feel so bad that there's such a stigma, especially in church culture, that like, oh, that's a guy problem. That's all they talk about in priesthood session or whatever. But they're like, man, like biology affects me too, right?
Right.
Like I have sexual hormones. I desire companionship and closeness. And that's one thing that I think is really important that I've also learned is like, maybe, and I think we're getting better as a church culture, but we've still got a long road to hoe with this. But the vilification and sex has just been so taboo.
Mm-hmm.
It's something that's like, oh, sex is bad. Don't talk about it ever. And then somehow have children, right?
Right.
Once you're married. But sex is rad. It's awesome. It's an incredible part of any meaningful marriage. And it should be used as a form of communication and bonding. And so like Satan takes that really good, really pure, really powerful component of mortality and bastardizes it, right? Mm-hmm. He takes it out of context, makes it cheap, makes it free. And our body has a hard time telling the difference. So that's why we teach people to really have strong value systems in order to delineate those things, to bring you back to your frontal lobe, your decision-making part of your brain when it comes to fighting addiction. Sorry, Stephanie, it seemed like you had something you wanted to ask.
Well, I was, you know, 2 years is a long time, and listening to some of your episodes, it seems like you've had such a huge variety of, you know, stories. You know, how have these stories, have these experiences like changed you and changed the way you view the issue?
So if I understand your question, what have I learned in doing this? First of all, that people are amazing creatures. And everybody has a very unique, very powerful story to tell. And God loves his children so intensely and so powerfully and so completely that it's really a disservice to ourselves when we write somebody off as one thing, when we try to simplify something as complex as a son or daughter of God with mm-hmm. one adjective or one describer. Seeing the spectrum of addiction and how it affects people, how it affects families. We had a guy, Dave, on the show with his son, Ethan, and to see like such a powerful bond between a father who wants to understand, who wants to be involved, and a son who wants to get better, who wants to understand as well. That's nothing I didn't have that in my youth. That's not an indictment against my dad or my mom, but that wasn't my experience. And I can only imagine how much better my life would have been, how much more understanding I could have had at an earlier age. And so maybe Spence and I were just trying to make up for that because we didn't have it. But I've found out that, like, first off, like, addiction is much more a biological challenge than it is a spiritual challenge. I think that
interesting.
We especially in church culture, we try to fix things with, you know, just pray it away, just fast it out, just do more church. And we neglect the biology at play. Okay, I'm not saying that prayers don't help. I'm not saying that fasting doesn't help. On the contrary, in fact, fasting actually does employ the biological aspect of the fight because it is an element of self-mastery, right? But when we, like, if anybody who's listening to this, if you're struggling with pornography use, and when I say struggling, I mean that like, you don't want to do it, and yet you find yourself doing it. That was one of the questions that you sent over to me, Dustin, about like, what's the difference between addiction and habit? And we can get into that a little more later.
Yeah.
But like, if you go to church, if you have a testimony, if you believe in the gospel and yet this plagues you, that is not a spiritual issue. It's a biological issue. Okay. It's a mental issue that you can fix, and that there are principles and tools available to you to change your brain chemistry, to rewire things, right? Like, our brains get used to things, and we drive these heavy, heavy grooves into our neurochemistry. We've got these canyons in our brains of where our thought processes lead, and we're used to that. And so anytime discomfort comes up, even though I am all kinds of righteous and have desires to do that, which is good, all of a sudden I'm met with stress or I'm met with disappointment or discouragement, and my body goes to its drug of choice, which happens to be pornography. Okay. And it's outside of my control. It just happens, right? All of a sudden, whoa, what the, I didn't mean to do that. I didn't want to do that. It just happened. Like, there are things that you can do to fill those canyons and start to rewire things. It takes time, but time takes time, right? And anything worthwhile tends to take a while too. And so, like, give yourself the benefit of the doubt, brush yourself off, and get back in the saddle, because Satan loves to let you spin your wheels, and he loves to not let you realize that he's the one doing it. I think sometimes there's almost a boogeymanification of of Satan, and that he's just this monster that lives under the bed. It's not really real, although we talk about him, but we miss the forest for the trees. We don't open our eyes and realize his influence in our lives.
Right.
Yeah.
I'd also want to add, because you're talking about tools, right?
Yeah.
I just want to know, and maybe this helps, you know, people that listen, like, what are some of these tools that we could use to help fight that urge for going down that path of pornography, masturbation?
Totally. So, Jake, can I walk you through a little bit of an exercise that will help you understand your brain chemistry?
Please.
Okay.
Is this the story?
Yeah. Have you got someone that
Dustin knows already?
Dustin might know this.
I listen to the pod, dude. I know this.
Okay. Whatever.
Yeah. Jake, is there someone special in your life right now?
Yes.
All right. Okay. So let's say, okay, and those of you that are listening, I want you to walk through the same hypothetical scenario. Okay. So it's a late day, or it's kind of a late afternoon on a Friday, or it's about midday on a Friday. Okay. And you're burned out from the week, and all of a sudden you get a text from your girl. Okay. Okay. And she says, "Hey, I have a surprise. I want to take you out on a date tonight. Okay. Like, I've got it all planned out, but I've got something special planned, that, you know, I want to do for you." Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're thinking, okay, great. Like, this is kind of cool. This is fun. So you go back to work, right? No, Jake, you're much more suave than that. Mm-hmm. You're coming down with something at work, right? So, and this is outside of COVID world. So you say to your boss, "Hey, you know, I'm feeling kind of sick. I've actually got to take off." Okay. And then do you rush home? No, sir. You're smart. You go to the florist. All right. And you get a bouquet of your girl's favorite flowers. Okay. And you're like, "Man, I am going to knock her socks off with it." Okay. So then you hustle home, or hustle to her place to pick her up or something like that. And as you're walking up to the door, you notice that the door is ajar. Okay. It's open a little bit. Okay. And you hear a struggle coming from inside. All right. And you walk inside, you hear screams coming from upstairs. Okay. You toss the flowers and you hustle up the stairs as fast as you can. And you notice that, like, her bedroom door's open, and there's a masked guy in there on top of her and just, like, throwing her around. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
What would you do?
I would, like, kill him. Yeah. I would totally, like,
kill the guy.
Yeah. If right.
If you get down to it, you wouldn't balk at that. You would do whatever it takes to keep her safe. Right.
Right. Right.
Okay. How, like, what's your heart doing right now?
Pounding.
Right. Okay. Okay. What you're experiencing right now is a principle that we call warrior chemistry. Okay. It is the mama bear force, or the come hell or high water, I'm going to run through this brick wall with everything I've got, then nothing can stop me feeling. Okay. That type of chemistry, when it courses through our body, engages our frontal lobe in such a focused and intense way that any type of limbic system, which is kind of like the midbrain, like kind of your animal brain, that where addiction lives, is completely overridden by your ability to focus on what's right in front of you and to make split second decisions. This is like, this is game time mode where you're in right now. And if you can change your brain chemistry to get right here, to be present, to be focused, you will not submit to the evils of pornography. You can't. If it's not in your value system, you will not give into it. And so how do you recognize when your brain chemistry starts to get a little bit lazy, to get a little bit more, a little less intentional? Okay. And there are certain things that you can do to bring you back to that frontal lobe. And this exercise is just an example of that. Okay. There's other things that we do. There's like journaling things. There are a lot of other like drills and things to keep you engaged and to change your body and brain chemistry. But this is my favorite example.
I love that. So it's kind of like a fight or flight scenario in a way, or is it kind of different?
No, like it's a little bit different. Fight or flight actually does live in the limbic system. That's where you're a cornered animal and you're going to like, so your limbic system controls a couple of things. You have your fight, flight, freeze, feed, or breed responses. Okay. So when you're hungry and you're hangry, that's because you're living in your lizard brain, your limbic system. Okay. This is also where your sex chemicals live. Okay. Your breed response, fight or flight, is also in that situation. What you're experiencing is, I am like defending my territory. I am not fighting because I'm cornered. I'm fighting because I'm like, I'm on offense. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome. I love that example for that very reason, because it's, it just, I remember hearing that. I think it was,
he's on Maurice Harker.
Maurice. Yeah. Him telling that story.
Oh, man, dude. Yeah.
He's awesome. But yeah, that's a really, really good way of explaining it. And I like that a lot too, because it's really is, it just, you, the response is, yeah, there isn't anything I wouldn't do to stop this from happening.
And also like you're not, you don't feel lazy anymore. You don't feel like you just want to kind of like sit there. Like I noticed like watching Jake, like his posture changed, right? Going through that experience, like there's a biological reaction when our chemistry is engaged in a different way. And all of a sudden, like I'm not like passively scrolling through my feed or unintentionally looking at YouTube or whatever like my sources of pornography might live. And like, oh, there's this naughty thumbnail that I guess it just found me or something. That's like, no, like why, what's the intent of my media consumption right now? Is it to be inspired or is it to pass time? And if it's the latter, what am I really doing? You know, I could do other things, more productive things with my time. And that's another thing I love about the program that we're part of is addiction recovery is not about becoming normal again or getting back to a regular plane. It's about learning how to live an excellent life and how to dominate your mortality and maximize it. Too often people are like, well, as soon as I'm done or as soon as I'm fixed, what a sucky life. Like,
right.
Your ability to, I don't know, like being driven to achieve more is not a bad thing.
Absolutely agree. So I wanted to ask this because I think this is still relevant to it. So in addition to like understanding the brain chemistry, we kind of listened to the episode that had, I can't remember their names now.
Kids and Nate.
Sorry.
It was Kaylee and Nate.
Kaylee and Nate, man.
Yeah.
Those guys are unreal. I love those guys so much.
And just hearing about that was really cool. And so we kind of wanted to ask like, what is it? I don't know if they, like they talked about his fight and like everything that happened, but like, what were some of the key things that you noticed that stuck out that they did in order to help them as a couple, because they were married, it's helpful, but even in dating, like what is it you can do to help your partner?
Well, what I love about Nate and Kaylee's story is, yeah, I think on the surface, it is like all about his fight. It's all about Nate overcoming pornography. But if you really listen closely, Kaylee is fighting just as an intense battle. Okay. And while she doesn't fight pornography use, she fights the lies that Satan tells her of your husband wouldn't turn to porn if you were prettier.
Right.
Your husband wouldn't do this if you cared about him more, if you took better care of him. Right. And like to hear her story of understanding her value and developing a greater sense of self-worth independent of however Nate was going to respond. She wasn't about to let her value be dictated or validated by however her husband chose to exercise his agency. And I think that's the same in dating. Like, obviously to a lesser degree, like there aren't covenants in place, the relationship isn't as advanced as a marriage is, but you need to feel good about you regardless of how other people feel about you. That's the difference between codependence and interdependence, right? Codependent people are in unhealthy relationships and require somebody else to feel good about themselves. They require somebody else saying, "Oh, I think you're pretty enough to smooch." Mm-hmm. That's how you feel good. But interdependence are two people who independently feel good about themselves and yet choose to validate each other. Not because they require it, but because they want to give that to the other person. It's not selfish in nature, right? It's all about giving. So seeing that in dating relationships when it comes to pornography is so important for both guys and girls. Like if you're, let's say, you know, in the usual situation, if you're a guy and you're struggling with porn, you need to learn how to love yourself. And that's really hard to do, especially when you're new to recovery, but you need to learn how to see yourself the way God sees you. And you can learn that. In fact, if you just try, if you can no more than desire to believe, let that desire work in you. That's enough. If you can do that, like it's not only possible to develop that confidence, it's inevitable.
Right.
Because we're God's children, right?
I know that's awesome. Like, I really appreciate, like, those are amazing principles. Something else I want to point out too that I noticed was the vulnerability. Thank you, Jake. Say that again for me.
No, I said it weird too.
Vulnerability.
Yes. Vulnerability. That was such a struggle. Yes. That. I just noticed that because, like, when he finally started talking to her about it, because he was vulnerable about everything and she could be vulnerable about how she was feeling, it drew them closer together. And that was one of the biggest takeaways I had, because it seems like it's something that Satan will use to drive people apart. And that's not even, like, put aside pornography or anything like that. It's just miscommunication or not talking about things will drive your marriage, your relationship apart faster than anything else. But being vulnerable and being willing to talk about things is what will bring you closer together faster than anything else as well.
I couldn't agree more.
One thing to just add on that, in thinking about a dating relationship and, you know, establishing the right kind of boundaries, you know, in a lot of ways, I've wondered, is a dating relationship the right place to have those conversations about somebody's struggle with pornography? You know, is your girlfriend or your boyfriend really the right accountability partner if you're going through recovery? I had a situation where I was dating a young man who was struggling with pornography, and he asked me to be his accountability partner. And in, you know, so many ways, I was worried that I wasn't up to the challenge. I wasn't up to, when I was worried that he wasn't going to be able to really feel confident in confiding in me with something that brought him so much shame. But, you know, in to Dustin's point, you know, when has vulnerability ever hindered a relationship? You know, when has vulnerability ever, you know, diminished or, you know, damned a relationship from progressing and from getting better and getting stronger? And, you know, it was a really important thing for me to experience that, because all of a sudden I'm a lot more aware of the issue. And I think there's a lot of women that really aren't. There's a lot of women that aren't aware of the issue. They aren't aware of the struggle. And I think a lot of them are really quick to decide, well, I just won't tolerate it. Like, I'm not going to marry anybody who has an issue with pornography. I'm not going to date anyone who has an issue with pornography. It's just a deal breaker. I'm not going to be there. And I think that really puts them at a disadvantage.
Sure. Yeah. So Stephanie, you bring up something that I think is really important to highlight and understand of, like, do we limit ourselves sometimes when we say, you know, that's a deal breaker. I'm not signing up for that. And here's one thing. So here's the thing. At the end of the day, sin is sin. Pornography is bad. Masturbation is bad. Overcoming them is a good thing, and it's a hard thing to do, and we need to be loving and understanding of those going through that. But part of what I have to accept based on my story, part of the consequence of my sin is that that's part of the deal. And that if I'm dating a gal and, you know, I confide in her my story and she says, you know what, I can't do that, that's not up for me to decide. And I've made peace with that, right? And who's to say, like, what their story is? Maybe she was abused growing up by someone who had a pornography issue. Maybe she's had a struggle herself and she needs someone else to maybe be a stronger partner or whatever. Like, whatever the extenuating circumstance is, that's not my call. But mm-hmm. I do know and I do believe that God will lead me to the right person. I will find my person, right, guys?
Hey.
Hot tub talks. I'll find my person, and they will love me not in spite of my struggle, but because of it. And that the synergy that we'll have together will be special because of the hell that I've trod. So, like, yeah, that comes with the territory, but it's not, you got to let people navigate their own mortality. You can't be like, oh, she didn't like me because I'm not perfect.
Right.
I don't have a, cause I have a history with porn. Like, man, I forfeited that ability, you know, when I was engaging in sin. But I've also met a lot of really good girls that are like, hey, you know what? That's cool. My brother has the same challenge. Or, you know what? I've had my own struggles. Or, you know what? It's cool that you're doing something about it. And that's what I would say is, like, if you're in a dating relationship and it comes up and people have, and here's the thing, it should come up early and expect people to have had some type of experience, whatever it is. Like, pornography affects everybody. We're sexual creatures. It should. It's a bad thing, but it's going to affect all of us in one way, shape, or I don't know how that phrase goes, one way or the other. Yeah, like, that's not up to me, and that's okay. I'm okay with that.
Well, one thing in thinking about it is I hope that, you know, men would give women the same generosity.
How do you mean? And
so, you know, like if a woman struggled with masturbation or struggled with pornography, I would hope that, you know, even though it's fairly taboo, it's fairly uncommon for women to struggle with it. And
so we think,
exactly, because no one, we don't talk about it. And I think that's the power of your passion project. That's the power of your podcast, is opening up dialogue, opening up a conversation about it. And I really hope that men would offer women the same generosity of, you know, validating their journey and, you know, choosing to join them, you know, and choosing to fight with them, just as women, can do the same for the men in their lives, you know, validate their journey, learn about it, understand it. I think one of the biggest hindrances for, you know, developing a good dialogue is ignorance. And if you're ignorant about the problem, if you're ignorant about the process of overcoming, you're not going to be a good advocate. You're not going to be a good support system. And, you know, it's more likely than not that your person has a problem with it.
And that's something I've learned, especially within this last year of 2020, is just how much everybody has something they're working on, some issue. And that's why it's so important to go into a dating relationship with an open mind. That's something I've had to work on a lot, because I used to be very critical, especially if, like, I first date, if I heard something I didn't like, that was it. Done. Like, didn't matter what it was or how I felt about it before. If I heard one thing, I was like, nope, done. And so, like, that is why it is so important to break out of that and break out of that judgmental mindset and be open to learning, understanding somebody's struggles. I think an important part of, especially with those struggles, is what they're doing about it right now. It's how are they fighting that? How are they working on improving themselves? What are they doing right now? Are they sitting on their butt and just, you know, letting life take them? Then, okay, maybe there's something you can talk about with that. But if they're trying, that is amazing. And that takes a valiant person too. I think that's something that's definitely needs to be emphasized for sure. Going off of that, I want to ask this question just because I feel like it's still relevant. So at what point, and this doesn't even have to be about pornography anymore, but at what point in a dating relationship is it important to share those things?
Ooh, I love this question. I want to ask you guys what you think about that. Because I have an answer, but I want to understand from you guys where you're coming from on that. So, like, when should you talk about sexual history or like pornography use and exposure in a relationship?
So just kind of like my background, I've done it, I guess you can say multiple ways, I guess. So like I've done it where I've done it either on, you know, the second or maybe third date. And you know, things like, I mean, interesting enough, it's kind of interesting when I do it then, is because, you know, you get in a point where I guess women see it that you're more vulnerable and you're more worthy to trust, I guess you can say. But then also I've seen it where it just totally backfires. They're like, no, I don't want to actually do anything with this. And some, it's just like, it's a cutoff. It's something that they value and they want to have a worthy, you know, priesthood holder, you can say, or someone that's not having these issues, they're lost. But I think, like, for me, that's kind of where I do it.
It sounds like you said you have, like, a lot of different times you've tried out and tested, yeah. Right?
Yeah.
And for the most part, it's just kind of feel out the situation.
It kind of is like a fill out situation. Like, where's the conversation going? How do I feel with the woman? Like, how comfortable do I feel? How much do I trust them? How much do I want to be in that vulnerable state? Because some, it might just take some time, and I might not have the time, you know? It's just kind of what happens.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking too. What do you think, Stephanie?
I think it's really easy to be gun shy about it. It's really easy to fear that conversation and to avoid it and push it off as long as possible. But I go back to my previous comment, you know, when has more vulnerability ever hindered a relationship? I do think establishing trust beforehand is important, because you need to make sure that you are in a safe space to put yourself in that vulnerable position. And it doesn't necessarily take a long time. It doesn't, like, there's no prescribed amount of time to establish that trust. You know, that trust could happen, you know, with a good friend. You know, it doesn't even have to be in a romantic relationship. And when it comes to a romantic relationship, like, if that friendship and that trust is established, and you've created a safe space to, you know, be vulnerable, and you feel like as soon as you open up to them, as soon as you say, hey, this is my pit that I exist in every day, like, this is my Gethsemane, come on in kind of a thing, that communicates to them that you trust them enough and to welcome them into that space and to invite them there. And if that's not a place where they want to be, then, you know, that's just, as you said, Jake, it's their loss and, you know, they need to go and find that safe space for them. They need to set their own boundaries of what they can handle and what they can't. But I don't think it's ever a bad idea to invite somebody into that space who's worthy. But I wouldn't suggest, you know, doing it as a way to weed out that person, right? Like, I'm going to drop this bomb on them and I'm going to, you know, make my decision about them depending on how they react. You know what I mean? Like, it can't be a way to like sift out the unlikelies. You know what I mean? It has to come from a very authentic place. It has to come from a very intentional place. And if it does, I think it's beautiful and can only improve your relationship.
And how deeply minimizing is that? If we say, okay, like, this is it, make or break time. Here comes the porn chat. And you're reducing yourself to like, that's all you're about. And that's not fair to you, you know? So I really like what you said about trust, Stephanie, and I couldn't agree more. Jake, I commend you for what you've done. I mean, so early in relationships, everything is going to be a very unique and individual situation because every relationship is unique. My advice would be, and it's a balancing act, like Jesus taught us, don't cast your pearls before swine. And I consider my struggles, my scars, some of my pearls. And not everybody gets to see those, at least in an intimate way. There are things on the podcast that I don't, or there are things about my life that I don't share on the podcast that are still private to me, okay? My advice would be, you need to have this conversation before they fall in love with you. You need to let them own the decision about signing up for whatever it is that they would be signing up for before feelings are developed to a degree that can, I don't want to say blur judgment, but can complicate things. It's at its root, there's nothing more manipulative than a guy or a gal being involved in a deep pornography addiction, and they bring it up a week after the wedding, or somebody catches them, and you're like, can I say a swear?
Yeah.
What the hell, man? Like, you know what I mean? Like, that's
the swear.
Yeah, I went with the big H. But like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
All of a sudden, out of left field, I didn't sign up for that. Like, you know what I mean? And or I guess it doesn't simplify things. What about, like, what does that say about our, like, what else do I not know? What other skeletons do you have in the closet?
Yeah, honestly.
I'm invested to this degree and you blindsided me with it. That's not fair. And so, again, my counsel is, you've got to have the conversation before either of you love each other.
I like that.
I think that's really wise, actually. I like that a lot. Because, I mean, I think that's kind of goes with what me and Jake were thinking, because I'm the kind of guy who can fall very quickly in love with a girl. So if I would want to know everything, like everything important before I do that, because afterwards it's like, then if you're like, oh, I actually can't deal with that, then you have to go through that whole heartbreak process and you have to get over that person. It's a whole struggle.
Yeah.
But
totally. And this conversation should enhance your emotional connection, you know? And girls, like, I know we're kind of making it, we're kind of following the normal narrative of, okay, the guy has the problem and the girl has to figure out how bad it is or whatever, you know? So just for the sake of this exercise, roles can change. 2020, everybody does porn. Sex happens. You need to talk about it. Anyway, but girls, you can be proactive in asking about it. In fact, I'm in a relationship right now, and the girl I'm seeing, she brought it up to me. Like, we hadn't even officially started dating. We were just spending time together. And she just said, hey, I want to get your opinion on something. It's a topic that's important to me. And I'm like, okay, cool. And she's like, I don't want to talk about it now, but maybe sometime later. And like, she just teased me. I'm like, all right, cool, whatever. And then like a week later, she's like, yeah, it's porn. And I'm like, I have some opinions on that, you know? And
I have some experience in this arena.
Yeah.
Did she know you had a podcast about it?
She did not. And so I grabbed her phone, pulled up the pod, and I said, hey, just listen to this.
Nice.
And then walked away. Suavest moment of my life. Just mic dropped. Walked away.
Guys, don't look at explosions.
She's like, hot damn, you are the coolest dude. But no, like that. I so respect her for like being forthright and wanting to talk about it. It made me really appreciate her and respect her a lot more. And it's fun. We have like an open, continuous dialogue about it. You know, she's going to ask me about this, whatever we did here, and mm-hmm. she'll tune in. She'll help with the female listenership.
I love it.
All right. Last question, just to wrap up.
Sure.
Of everything that we've talked about, in addition to everything we talked about, what is the main or like few main things that a guy or a girl should know about dating somebody who has struggled, is currently struggling with self-mastery?
So here's the thing. Everybody's got something. Whether it's porn, whether it's masturbation, whether it's anger issues, whether it's you suck at money, you're a compulsive spender, everybody comes with their own baggage, okay? We all carry our own luggage. We all have our own carry-on, okay? And depending on what's in the bag is kind of the culmination of our collective mortal experiences. And so you've got to ask yourself, what are you okay with? What's in your bag? You know, and what are you willing to lay on the altar? Okay. Don't paint someone with one brush stroke. My pornography challenge is so different from Spencer's, my co-host, right? Mm-hmm. And we're not the same guy. And like, I mean, that's a disservice to you in getting to know people and saying, oh, and labeling a person as one thing instead of, you know, realizing that, yeah, Spence has had an issue with pornography in his life, but you wouldn't know that he's an incredibly talented artist, that he's incredibly passionate about music, that he is one of the most talented salespeople that I have ever seen, that he, it's incredibly passionate about exercising and stuff. Like, you would rob yourself the incredible opportunity to learn from Spencer and to appreciate and to love him as a person if you just said, yeah, but he's a porn addict or whatever. And that's on you, and your life sucks because you're out there looking for perfect people and you're going to be really disappointed throughout your life. But if you go in with your eyes wide open and are genuine, another thing I really like about this girl that I'm seeing is she's so curious about people. She wants to know you for you and not for anybody else. She wants to understand why you are the way you are, why you tick the way you do. And it's adorable. But human beings are complex creatures, and you ought to respect yourself enough to believe that about yourself and to afford other people the same thing. You know, you guys, you had a, I think, who was the therapist that you had on with, Lonnie, what's
Lonnie
her name?
Lonnie Harmon.
She was awesome. I loved mm-hmm. those episodes that you guys did with her. And she highlighted something that I think is so important in dating. And that's, it comes down to respect. I think I'm of the belief that love is just a deeper, more intense form of respect wrapped up in a romantic context, right? And I don't believe you can love somebody unless you first respect them. And I don't believe you can respect somebody that doesn't respect themselves. And so when we talk mm-hmm. about, oh, I'm so afraid to make a move, or I'm just going to kind of wait things out, or maybe she'll hate me because I have an issue with pornography and masturbation and I'm working on it. Like, you don't respect yourself enough, and you need to build that. You need to get a swagger that you are the baddest dude out there, that you are the raddest chick in the room, okay? And that you are so worth loving. You are so valuable. You have so much good to give, so much love to offer, that anybody should count themselves lucky, just absolutely fortunate to have landed you as an incredible catch. You know, one of my favorite movies is Big Fish, Tim Burton movie. And there's a line in there.
Great film.
Yeah, Steph, you get me. But there's a line in there where Edward Bloom says, the biggest fish in the river gets to be that way by never being caught. And when we get caught in Satan's lies, when we get caught in our thinking less of ourselves and not respecting ourselves enough, then we won't have success in romantic relationships. We will be frustrated because we're looking, and it feeds into addiction, honestly. Mm-hmm. Some of the guys that keep coming to group or stop coming to group and don't have success in turning things around, it's because they're not building self-respect. They're not loving themselves. But if you can do that, man, like you turn heads, man. Like there's a light. There is a light in people's countenances that makes them really attractive when they know who they are. And I see it in you guys. Like you guys are awesome. And what you're able to do, you guys are incredible examples to me. So I appreciate you doing that. But
well, hey, right back at you, man. You're a valiant and just a giant.
That's just my lighting setup in the room. That's
it's coming from your eyes then.
No, you guys are great. But yeah, you've got to respect yourself. And if you're so worried about making a move that the girl doesn't reciprocate, then that you don't do anything. I mean, that's the price. That's the price of admission to the romantic arena. And there needs to be risk associated. Like Jake, you mentioned when you talk to these girls about any history that you might have with pornography, I've had, like there is risk associated there. Right. And if there's no risk in the conversations and in our romantic lives, then it doesn't carry the weight to actually mean anything. If there's no risk associated, then we don't care. And that's scary. That means you don't have feelings. You're not developing, you know, a relationship. So if you're scared to do something, that's a pretty good sign that you ought to do it.
Here, 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 here.
Wow, dude, couldn't have said that better. Thank you so much. That is awesome. Wes, you are a gentleman, a scholar, and a valiant man. And we are so grateful you have been able to come on.
I'm one of those three. I'm doing okay.
Yeah. All of them. You are.
I think you're all three, but no, we really, really appreciate you taking the time to talk to us.
Thanks for having me.
Love it. No. And guys, hey, thank you all so much for joining us on our episode today. If you want to check out Wes's podcast, it's the Eternal Warrior podcast. It is amazing. If you know somebody who is struggling with pornography or masturbation or anything like that, definitely go check that out. I've also attached the link to his podcast in this episode notes. Please go check it out, guys. It's awesome. It's one of my favorite ones.
Or if you need to learn about the fight, please educate yourself.
Absolutely.
Check it out. It's amazing. Yeah.
But hey, let's go out and find your person.
Find your person.
Find your person.
Let's go. Thanks, guys. When I